You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful night, and thank you so much for tuning in and supporting all that we're doing here on the podcast. It's been amazing. You guys have been amazing out there checking us out and subscribing and downloading, and it's just a real pleasure. Of course, I'm your host, Brent Thomas. This is the Paranormal Portal podcast, and once again, special thanks to Revolver Podcast for making all this possible. So the first story I'm going to bring you tonight is coming from the state of Wisconsin. And let's see. It says, I was at my friend's house, and he lives right next to a cemetery, and we thought it'd be a good idea to look at the graves. On the way to the graveyard, Rachel, my friend, all of a sudden stopped and pointed at a grave. And I followed her gaze and saw an old lady bending over a grave, and I said, so what is it? What is just an old lady? And Rachel told me, it's not her, in general, but to look at her feet. Even though I was suspicious, I looked over at the lady's feet, and I got a chill going through my bones because the lady wasn't standing. She was floating. My friend grabbed my hand and looked back at the lady, and I looked at the lady again, and I saw her slowly disappearing. My mouth almost dropped, and I almost screamed when I saw her face. The whole body was regular, but when you saw her face, anybody would have screamed. There were scars and burns on her face, and one eye was closed, and she had a gap-toothed smile, and I felt like my feet were nailed to the ground, and the look on Rachel's face told me she felt exactly the same way. As the old lady drew closer, my back straightened. She didn't even go around us, but instead walked right through me. I was so freaked out by then that I grabbed Rachel's hand and just started running. By the time we got out of there, we were absolutely breathless. And even though we were tired, my friend and I ran as fast as we could. And when we got to her house, we told her mom what had happened. Of course, she didn't believe us and told us to go to bed. I couldn't sleep because whenever I tried closing my eyes, I saw that face. And by the time I did fall asleep, it was already dawn. It is 4 years later, and we still hate being around that cemetery. Now, I think the lady may have been maybe fake, but whenever, what do you mean I think the lady may be fake? Did you see it or not? But whenever I go by that cemetery, I still get a chill. The psychologist I have been seeing says it was a figure of my imagination. And I thought that too until I saw her again in my room. Now I can never pass a cemetery without being scared, and I'm weary of old ladies. I can barely look at my grandma and she thinks I'm weird. Now I'm trying to forget it, but it just doesn't work. I don't think I will ever look at my grandma the same way again. Well, that's not really fair. That's not fair at all. Now, I don't know what she means with that. I know that old lady was fake. It's like, if you saw an apparition floating, I mean, it was an apparition, and it went through you. I don't know what more substantial proof you'd need, but I'd be a believer. I mean, I already am, but you know what I'm saying. Even if I was coming at it from a skeptical place, if something floated up to me and then just phased right through me, okay, I'm convinced. I don't know. Some people just need desperately to hold on to that paradigm. They need that security of their three dimensions and the four walls and the ceiling and a manicured yard. And once reality takes a spin out of there, they just can't cope. They can't adjust. They can't adapt to that new possibility. So no matter how ridiculous, they will cling to their paradigm. So, all right. Let's see what's next. The next one is coming out of Montana. It was about 4 years ago or so, and I went to one of my friends' house in Lewiston, Montana. They had just moved 2 weeks prior to my visit, and this was really a big house, three floors, and it sat atop a really steep hill, and it gave you the chills whenever you looked at it from the outside. And the year before the winter, a child was killed in the alleyway just behind the house while sledding. Oh, that's horrible. I was 15 at the time of the incident, and our parents decided that they would go out that night. They left at around 8 p.m. and left my friend, his brother, and me alone in the house, and we were all upstairs watching television, and my friend had bought a new poster earlier that day for his wall. I knew what was exactly on that poster because I had the exact same one in my room. So I watched him hang it up, and we sat back down in front of the TV, and 5 minutes later, we turned back to the poster, and to our horror, a face about the size of a small plate had been drawn on the poster with black ink. We all ran up to the poster to examine it, and his little brother actually touched it and said it was still wet. And that's when we realized that it was running out of the eyes of the face and down the wall, and then discovered the ink was soaking out through the wall, and we ran out of the house immediately. And while we were leaving, the TV began to flip through the channels, and we never went back in until our parents arrived. They moved out 1 month later. After this happened, we discovered on the other side of that wall was his little brother's closet. And inside the closet, there's a crawl space, which all over the sides appeared to be scratch marks from fingernails. I know this is something because I really don't get scared often, and every time I tell this story or even type it out like I am right now, my eyes begin to tear up, and that only happens when I'm severely freaked out. Yeah, that's creepy. Again, I got to keep repeating this because, you know, as fantastic as some of these stories sound, I can't vouch for their authenticity or their accuracy or their being even grounded in fact, but I find these things for you guys, and at the very least, they're good discussion points. Do I believe this one? Well, you know, it's possible. I don't know. I mean, anything is possible, you know, and I really firmly believe that, but is this one? I don't know. It's a little different. Okay, so the next one is coming out of North Carolina, and it says, I've always really been fascinated with ghosts and all of the supernatural, so for my high school graduation gift, my grandmother arranged for the two of us to stay at a supposedly haunted bed and breakfast just outside of Asheville, North Carolina. The bed and breakfast was in a beautifully, completely renovated Victorian house that had been owned by a doctor when it was first built. The owners actually showed us some of the bloodstains on the floor in one small room in the back of the house, and they told us this had been the doctor's operating room, and that they tried everything to get the stains out but hadn't had any luck. Now, I asked them if they had any ghostly experiences recently, and they said no. The next morning, my grandma and I went down to breakfast, and one of the owners greeted us with, "You must have woken them up." And when he came in to start the breakfast, he had heard someone come down the stairs and say, "Hello." But when he turned around, there was absolutely no one there. Late that night, I was lying in my bed, almost asleep, when I heard someone laughing in the hallway. I didn't think anything about it because until I remembered that grandmother and I were the only ones staying downstairs that night. And that was the only, and there was only one other couple staying upstairs, and they'd gone out for the night hours ago. I knew it wasn't the owners because they lived in a little house out back of the inn, and I would have heard them coming in. I almost wet the bed when I realized that nothing human, at least not living human, was in that hallway. But the more I listened to it, the more I decided it was just friendly, mischievous laughter, and not really anything evil. And eventually it stopped, and I did eventually fall asleep. The next morning was our last day there, and my grandmother got up early and took a shower while I was still in the bed. And she was adjusting the water when she felt someone snap a towel across her back. Not hard, but playfully. Of course, she thought it was me and came out of the bathroom to yell at me, but I was still asleep. All in all, it was an interesting experience, but not really a frightening experience. And I think that the spirit or spirits there are friendly. I've met a few ghosts before and since, but so far, not any malevolent ones, and I hope it stays that way. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because an angry ghost is just a horrible experience for everybody. All right, the next one. If I can get this to close. There we go. The next one is really short, but this comes out of Texas, which is really funny because everything in Texas is supposed to be huge. Sorry, I couldn't resist. That's the low-hanging comedy fruit. I can't help it, ladies and gentlemen. And I got the microphone, so you get to deal with it. So this one is, when I was little, my mom would tell us stories about a little girl who died of a ship crash. We would get scared because that girl lives in my house. Sometimes you could see a shadow in the mirror in the hallway, and she said her name was Elizabeth, and she said she was on a ship to the Gold Rush. She also at the time wrote something that said, "Visit me." She would freak me out, and one time she played with a pillow and hit me in the head. My mom was scared, so she called a priest, and once he got there, he said a lot of weird things, and I could hear Elizabeth screaming. I cried because she was my best friend, but my mom said, "She'll be happy now." But I still see her in my dreams, and she came back and said, "Jesus is proud of me." I had a cheerful expression on my face, and I asked her, "Will you tell my dad I love him because he died?" And she said, "Okay." We hugged, and I cried tears of joy. Well, it's possible. And those, you know, I imagine it was a dream encounter. And I've experienced that, as I've shared with you guys before. I've had these dream encounters where, you know, you're there. And the funny thing is that I literally never remember my dreams. Not never, but rarely, very rarely. It takes a pretty profound dream for me to remember it. But after my father died last year, I met him in a dream. And it was really, really great and healing, and it was a wonderful experience. After my cousin, who was more like an aunt to me, she was my mom's cousin, so mine by default, but she was quite a bit older. After she passed, I met her. And after my grandmother passed, and she and I were very close, I met her. And all three of those dreams were so profound and so real and so lucid and really so incredible. I mean, it was really, really amazing experiences all three times. Now, I wish that I could hear them loud and clear when I was awake, but so far I haven't figured that part out. But at least they come and see me in my dreams, and let me know everything's okay. So that's really a wonderful experience. All right, this next one is coming out of Missouri. All right, so this one is when I was about 12, maybe 13, I was asleep in my room, and my mom came to get me up for school, and it was winter, so it was still pitch black outside and dark in my room, but the hallway light was always on, and my mom opened my door about a foot and told me, hey, time to wake up. But in those light conditions, she just looked like a black shadow, so I sat up and said, okay. And she moved away from the doorway, leaving it open, and behind her was the shadowed outline of a little boy. And at the time, I had a nephew about that height and size, so I figured he was at our house for some reason. I laid back down, and a few minutes later, I went to get up, and the little boy shadow was gone, so I figured he had gone downstairs, and I got up and went downstairs, and it was just my mom and I asked her why my nephew was here, and she looked at me funny and said, why would he be here? And I said, you mean he isn't here? And she said, yeah, he's not here. It was just her. And I didn't tell my mom what happened because she wouldn't have believed me, and I never saw the little boy again. But our house is haunted, so I wasn't too worried about the little boy. Lots of things happen at our house, and mainly having to do with the upstairs and our stairway. The house is about 100 years old, and so I think maybe something happened in the stairway. Directly under the upstairs stairway is our downstairs stairway, which leads to the basement. And for months, I had a reoccurring dream about being chased by something and hiding under the basement stairs. And when I would get under the stairs, I would wake up, and my friend thought maybe that my dream was trying to tell me something, and there was something under the stairs, and I haven't gone under them since she said that because, well, I'm afraid. I'll be afraid if I find something. Anyone ever had a dream like that and found out something? So if this is a child spirit, and if it is indeed a child spirit, which I always have a lot of trepidation about because, of course, a lot of the really terrible hauntings start out with a child spirit and end up with scratches and exorcisms. But if this is, perhaps that dream was a manner of communication to share the story, like, this is who I am, this is what my life was like. So perhaps it was communication, and so she was maybe seeing things through this child's eyes, you know, perhaps. I mean, it's all speculation, right? But that's what we do here on the portal. We speculate all day long. Should have called it the speculation portal. I kind of crack myself up sometimes. All right, and the next one's from Missouri as well. Missouri, sorry. When I was about 14, my friend Kaylee and I were staying at another friend Kylie's house out in the country, and there was an old house near that we wanted to explore, and it was nighttime, and my friend Kaylee was too scared to go and stayed at the house. Kylie and I got a flashlight and walked out. It was a long walk to get there. It was dark, so we couldn't see a lot with our one flashlight, but it was a very run-down house, and there were toys all over the yard. There was a beat-up car and a shed, and we tried the door to the house, and we decided to go inside. And the first room was a kitchen, and to the right of that was a stairway. And the walls of the kitchen had holes in them and reddish-brown splatterings of things on the wall, and we weren't sure what it was, but it was on the refrigerator, too. And we opened it up and found some reddish-brown stuff inside. What are you going to think you're going to find in an old refrigerator? Ugh. And we got kind of freaked out and went outside again, and we heard something, so we took off running back to her house. When we got there, we told our friend Kaylee about it and decided to go back the next day while it was light and check out the upstairs. And we decided to go to sleep, and my friends Kylie and Kaylee took the twin bed, and I was lying on the floor. And I've been trying to sleep for a bit, and my back turned to my friends, and suddenly I felt my blanket by my feet moving. I sat up, and I thought it was Kylie's cat, but the cat wasn't even in the room with us. So I asked my friends if they were messing with my blanket, and they said no, and they laughed at me, and I didn't believe them, so I laid on my back this time and kept my eyes open so I could try and catch them. Suddenly, the blanket was yanked down on my foot strongly. My toes were forced onto the ground, and I screamed and got up onto the bed with them and turned the lights on. There was no way they did it because I had been watching them. They didn't believe me, so I ended up just sitting on the bed with the lights on and staying up all night while they slept. I was so mad that they didn't believe me. The next day, they went back to the house, and we saw a large circle of stones around the large mound of dirt with a cross sitting on top of it. There was a tire swing that moved back and forth, though there was no wind and even the leaves weren't moving, and we went back to the house to show Kaylee the reddish-brown splatters, but she wasn't convinced of anything, and we were too scared to go upstairs, so we came back outside and stepped off the porch onto what I thought was another broken step. And when I looked down, it was a headstone. Why there was a headstone laying by the porch, I have no idea. When Kaylee saw that, she started to believe. Kylie and I went into the shed, and there were really weird drawings and markings all over the walls that were glow in the dark, and I started getting really scared and started running back to the house, and my friends were right behind me. I'm just wondering if maybe something followed Kylie and I back that first night and was messing with my foot. I know it happened. I wasn't dreaming, and no one else could have done it. I was absolutely terrified, and my friends still don't believe me to this day. Has something ever happened to any of you, and no one believed you? That's the thing, you know, especially when you're a kid. I mean, if somebody makes a claim like that, you almost don't want to believe them, or you don't want to give them the benefit of that, because what if they're screwing with you and making you look stupid? So I can appreciate the other kids going, oh, whatever, because nobody wants to be the fool. So, hey, my blanket got jerked on. Did you guys do it? No, ha, 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 ha. But if, you know, what if you said, yes, it was, we did it. Or, you know, I mean, no, we didn't do it. Oh, that's really weird, but we believe you. And then, oh, no, I was just kidding. My blanket never got yanked down. You guys are idiots. And, you know, I mean, that's what kids are. Kids always jazz on each other like that. And it's like, wow. So I understand that they wouldn't want to admit that they might have believed it. But then again, some people just don't want to believe. And that's okay, too. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. It says, I've been waking up really early in the morning for apparently no reason, and I'm not sure why, but it's really dark, like 1 a.m., and when I go to see what time it is, it's like someone's following me, maybe watching me, and every time I turn around, nothing is there. Last night, actually, after doing my rounds after I woke up, I was really freaked out. I'm really not afraid of the dark, just what might be in it. So I was thinking I definitely was not going to be able to go back to sleep without some noise. Otherwise, the boogeyman would eat me. So I turned my fan back on and cranked up my radio. And as I was closing my eyes, I heard something that sounded a lot like my dad walking in to wake me up or something. So I roll over and turn around and, well, there's nobody there. This really freaked me out. So I pray and say in my head, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, I demand you not to even state your business and leave the premises forever. And after this, a sense of calmness fell upon the threshold. So I slowly but surely drifted off to sleep. The next morning, I woke up not even aware of what was happening or what had happened the night before, not to remember all day until at 5:37 p.m. on this very day that I'm writing this. Does anyone have any suggestions as to why this is happening to me? I think it's more paranoia than anything, but who am I to say? Please leave comments and try to explain why I am so disturbed. That sounds like they're looking for counseling more than anything. You know, the thing is that I really believe we all have like that sixth sense. And a lot of times if you feel like something's there, then you know, you might be right. And I think it's probably best to err on the side of caution. It's like to ignore something that you feel is threatening is, of course, foolish. Even if it seems foolish to try to address it. But I would recommend to this person to, you know, do some cleansing, get some cleaning going on in that house. If there is indeed something there. And if not, then whatever. You know, I always say this to people. It's like, people believe that saging is like a grand act. Well, it's not. In fact, saging has been proven to be very healthy for you because it actually kills bacteria and stuff in the air. So sage all the time. Hell, you know, burn that stuff daily if you want. It's good for the air. It's good for the air quality. And it pushes away negative energy. So it's like a win-win. If you feel like something might be there, then you might be right. And if you're right and you don't want it there, then you got to get rid of it. So certainly can't do anything wrong by saging. But again, it certainly makes it so much more potent if you believe in the spirituality of it, you know, and not that you need to change religions. That's not what I'm suggesting. They've used incenses in all religions throughout all the world. So it's not in defiance of any religion. It's just a part of our practices, and you know, and it smells good usually. Not that sage really smells good, but if you burn it with sweet grass, it's really cool. Sweet grass is a really sweet and wonderful smell. It's just really wonderful. So if you can get your hands on some sweet grass as well, that makes it even a little more powerful. Or you can burn cedar, and that gives you kind of the pine smell as well, and that's very good. Or you can burn frankincense, and frankincense is really fragrant as well. So there's a lot of things you can do on your own that can help to push away negativity and push away these presences. Now it's not the same thing as you know, quote unquote, blessing the house, unless it's done in concert with some sort of religious practice. And it's up to you to determine what that is, because, you know, you've got to use whatever practice resonates with your soul, with your heart. And if you do, then it becomes even more powerful. But at the very least, it is good on its own by virtue of it being sage and whatever, because, you know, it's been used throughout, you know, all the way from ancient history until today. So definitely do that. I think it's, even if you don't believe you have a haunting, ladies and gentlemen, it's really good for just knocking down the heaviness of a home. You know, we live in places and we're always projecting energy. We're always projecting energy. So to sage is to kind of knock down that ambient energy. Now, there are those that believe that even our emotional energy, if left to coagulate and congeal and to grow, can have a sentience of its own. And, you know, that can be really, really problematic. So just go through your house every once in a while and cleanse with the sage. Even if you're just burning the sage, that alone, again, will help to stabilize the energy and to release energy. So great practices. Now, if you do think you have something going on in your home, sage, and, you know, there's many things you can do, whether by blessings or holy water or whatever, to seal your home to keep things from coming in. So, but you'll have to refer to your own religion for that. I'm not going to give a whole lot of ideas. I have before, and that's fine. I mean, I really don't like to cross the whole you should do this kind of stuff. I mean, sage in and of itself is fine, and incenses are wonderful, and that's a universal practice. So I shouldn't be offending anybody's spirituality by saying that. But if I, you know, if I am, I'm really sorry. It's just, you know, but, you know, it's just a fact that people have been using sage since all of time, pretty much. But, you know, you've got to use whatever resonates with you, whatever is powerful in your heart. So find your answers, you know, in your community of spirituality. All right. So next, let's go to Pennsylvania. Oh, this is where Mr. Merkel is from. Pennsylvania, ladies and gentlemen. Home of the confessionals. All right, so what's going on in Pennsylvania? Let's find out. Or at least what was going on in 2007. We just moved into our new house, and when we got there, it was like 11 at night, so it was really pretty dark, and it wasn't a whole lot of fun. We moved the couch and some other stuff into our new house, and that's when it all began. And I laid on the couch with my dog in between my legs, watched out the window, and it was fun until the rest of the family fell asleep except me, and I heard something loud upstairs. Okay. Yeah, I thought it said something else, but it says, my dog Poppy. I thought it said Poopy. I was like, what? But that's two P's, not an O-O-P. So my dog Poppy darted up the stairs, and then I heard her yipe, and she came back down with her tail between her legs. Then I went upstairs and looked, and all of a sudden it got really cold. So I got my sweatshirt on and continued looking around. It was in my room, whatever what it was, and it made lots of noise. So I sat in my room. My closet door swung open. I looked around and saw nothing. I walked back down and sat, and there I heard something or someone walk across my bedroom floor, and before I knew it, it was morning. It stopped. To this day, my TV still turns on and off, and my bedroom door, even when it's locked, swings open. Also, my closet door slide, and they open, but I know whoever it is, it won't hurt me. My dog wakes up and barks at midair. And I'll wake up and my TV will be on Discovery Channel with the show A Haunting. And my windows will be open and it will be cold, but I can live with it. Wow. Well, I guess, you know, if you're okay with that, good on you. That seems like that's kind of assertive, I guess, as far as a haunting is concerned. And again, we talk about it from time to time on the show, but as we always get new listeners, I like to repeat this because I think it's important. But if you do feel like you have something going on in your house and it's not necessarily malicious, you know, claim your space, talk to it. Just say, hey, okay, here's the deal. I don't believe you're negative, but if you are, you need to get the hell out. You're not welcome here. But if you're good and kind and loving and this is your home as well, then Here's what I find okay, and here's what I find not okay. And if you're going to stay, you need to observe this. You know, and Jeffrey Seelman he's an exorcist and spiritual teacher and a wonderful guy, and a friend as well. But he says, you know, these were people in most cases, and they have the same quirks that they had in life. And some people, you know, will just be a little belligerent, but once you talk to them and kind of set them straight, they don't want to have hassles either. So most often they'll just work with you because they just want the right to exist. And, you know, I think that a lot of times, you know, spirits that are occupying a space when other people move into it, they may not like your drapes. They might not like your posters. They might not like what you're doing to their house. And, you know, it's really not their house anymore. This is, you know, I'm kind of torn on this personally, but according to Jeffrey, this is not their house anymore. They are not where they're supposed to be, and they should be moved on. And I respect that. I do. But to me, I don't know. I enjoy the paranormal, I guess, you know, not that I like things to be really creepy and really aggressive. I certainly don't want that. But the idea that there's spirits around to me is usually pretty cool. I'm pretty cool with that. But if you're not, I think you're within your rights to say, get out, or I'm bringing someone here to get you out. And as these spirits were at one time human in many cases, then they don't want trouble. They don't want to have hassles. They don't want to go to battle and fight and argue. Most people just want to be left alone. So in many cases, you know, maybe they'll just go dormant or they'll end up getting out. I don't know. But it's up to you, I guess. You kind of got to decide what you're okay with and what you're not okay with. But there's many stories out there of where spirits have served as protectors. And I think that that's kind of cool. If you have a good relationship with them, maybe they'll look out for you. Maybe they'll keep things safe. I don't know. There's plenty of stories out there of people who are going to break into a home and they saw a ghostly apparition in the window staring at them and they decided not to, and the family that lived inside were saved. This is allegedly by, in one case, it was the person was captured later and went into the story about what he had done and what he had tried to do. And he went through his locations that he was trying to burglarize. And, you know, he had weapons, so he was prepared, you know, for things to get ugly. And if they got ugly, I guess he would do what he had to do. And that's scary because nobody has the right to be in your house. And, you know, so it's kind of cool to think that in some cases, these spiritual presences actually defend their home, that home, and the family that lives there. So I heard another story one time long ago, and I can only paraphrase it. But essentially, this young girl and her mom lived alone, but she got a boyfriend, and the boyfriend really seemed sweet and wonderful at first, but the girl had always been familiar with this haunting in this house, but she was cool with it. And she said the boyfriend of the mom became suddenly aggressive and threw her across the room and was going to punch her, and suddenly he was lifted off his feet by something unseen and thrown across this room and smashed into a TV. And so something defended that child. And that to me is incredibly epic. That's really, really cool. You know, so I wish there were more of those out there defending the people that need defending. So, all right, let's see what's next. South Carolina is next. It seems I have a paranormal experience just about every day. A couple days ago, something happened and I was in my apartment on my knees praying before I went to bed. And it was about 2 a.m. and there was nobody here but my husband and myself, and the television, radio, computer were all shut off for the night and nobody was here. But my husband and I. And all was quiet until I heard laughter. It wasn't just any kind of laughter. It was a sound of two children laughing right in my ear. That's got to be creepy. I quickly finished my prayer and opened my eyes. And of course, there was nothing there. And so I told my husband, and he thought it was strange that he didn't hear it at all. So I kind of blew it off and went to bed. This morning, my mom sent me a message on text at about 6 in the morning, and she asked me if I would please call her. I thought it was a little odd, but I did as I was asked. And so when I got her on the phone, she's all excited, and I asked her what's going on, and she said, what? And what she said totally shocked me. She told me that just a little bit earlier, my dad had told her that something woke him up at 2 a.m. that morning, and he was just laying in bed, and he heard singing. It wasn't just anyone singing, it was two children singing, and he said that he just listened to it until he finally fell back asleep. About an hour later, he told my mom that my 10-year-old... What? About an hour later, after he told my mom that, my 10-year-old brother woke up and said, "Amy has kids." My mom was shocked, so she asked him, what is he talking about? And he told her that he had a dream that he was playing with my kids, which is totally weird since I've only been married a year and don't have any kids. That is really weird. You know, the whole children laughing in your ear thing. I don't know. I mean, it's, there was a meme that was going around on the internet. It was like, how did it go? I'm trying to remember so I don't just abuse it and brutalize it in the translation, but it was like, a baby laughing is about the most sweet sound in the world, unless it's 3 a.m. and you don't have a baby. So I thought that was pretty hilarious. I may even have shared that on the portal. God, that would have been like a year and a half or so ago, but yeah, pretty funny line. And that's true. It's cute until you don't have children. Then it's creepy. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. This one comes out of the state of Virginia. I don't see that one very often. I was a long-haul trucker. Hey, I'm Kat, this one's for you, brother. For many years, and in December of 2004, I had a delivery in Winchester, Virginia, and a second stop in Washington, D.C., and at the first stop, I was delayed and didn't get unloaded until after 2 a.m., and I left Winchester heading east on Highway 7, and around 2:30, I came to the intersection of Highway 8 and Route 601 near Bluemont at a gas station, and I pulled in to check my map of Washington in anticipation of my delivery, and the station was closed at that hour, and there was virtually no traffic going by, and it was cold, moonless night, so while I was sitting there, someone knocked on my door, absolutely startled me. I jumped up and turned off my interior light so I could see outside and rolled down the window. A man was standing there in an airline flight crew uniform, and he had four stripes on his shoulders, shoulder epaulets. I'm not familiar with the vernacular there for military uniforms, but indicating he was a captain. He was without a jacket on a very cold morning, and he climbed up on the step of my cab, and he smelled like he had bathed in kerosene, and when he got close to my face, I could see that his cap had a TWA insignia on it. "Could you give me a lift?" he asked in a voice that seemed raspy, and I assumed it was from the cold, and I was really taken off guard. It was odd. I was in a dark, rural area on a freezing night, being asked by an airline pilot wearing short sleeves for a ride, and I asked him where he was headed, and he said, "I work for TWA, and I got to get to Dulles to work a flight. Please give me a ride. I'll pay you." He responded, "Well, how about I give you a ride to the next open store where you can call a cab?" I offered. "Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you," he mumbled, and he said that we could descend. And I don't know what he was talking about, but I didn't want the guy to freeze out there, so "go around and get in," I instructed. He climbed down and shuffled around the front of the truck, and when he passed the first light, I was struck by the fact that he seemed to have long sideburns, a la Elvis. And when he continued on the right, he totally vanished. I don't mean he faded away. He just ceased to exist. I jumped down and out of the truck and looked all around with a flashlight, even under the truck. He was just disappeared. And as I continued toward Washington, I remembered something odd. TWA had gone out of business over 2 years ago. What was going on? I wondered, totally perplexed and shaken by the experience. And when I got home, I did some online research, and what I found out totally turned my beliefs upside down. I've always thought that ghost stories were hokey and foolish, but with what I learned, I'm no longer sure. Turns out that on December 4th, 1974, a TWA Boeing 727 Flight 514 descended prematurely through a low cloud deck and slammed into a rocky outcropping on Mount Weather, Virginia. The aircraft disintegrated with all 92 people on board killed. The flight had originated in Columbus, Ohio, and was supposed to land at Washington National Airport, and it was diverted to Washington's other airport, Dulles International, because high winds had closed National, and according to the cockpit voice and data recordings, the crew mistakenly believed that all traffic controllers had cleared them to descend to 1,800 feet from their previous altitude of 7,000 feet. This error, combined with strong downdrafts, caused the aircraft to hit the mountain at 1,670 feet above sea level, and at the last second, they broke out of the overcast only to see the rocky and snow-covered mountain coming in their windscreen. The captain's last words to his co-pilot were, "Get some power on," just moments before the recording abruptly ended. The place of impact was less than a mile south of where I encountered whoever or whatever it was that I saw almost exactly 30 years later. I don't want to definitely say it was a ghost, but the fact remains that there was somebody who appeared to be an airline pilot with a very dated hairstyle wearing a uniform of a defunct business. I'm no longer a trucker, but this has troubled me for over two years, and if anyone would have any insight into this, I'd appreciate your help. Thank you. I'm thinking you met a ghost. I'm thinking that the pilot was still trying to get back. You know, and what a tragic thing. I don't know. But again, this is a situation, ladies and gentlemen, this is what really perplexes me, is this gentleman had this situation. He had this experience. And he's still wondering what it was he saw. It's like, well, why not just admit to yourself that you saw a spirit? It appeared, manifested, talked with you. So it was very intelligent. It was actually, you know, an intelligent kind of experience, and then disappeared. I don't know. I don't know what answer he would be looking for outside of the obvious. That to me is the bigger mystery in this. But a cool story nonetheless. You know, of course it's tragic whenever things like that happen. But, you know, the fact that I guess, you know, that would definitely be a case for unfinished business or trying to come to terms with the terms of their death. It doesn't surprise me that the pilot would still be earthbound and trying to process this, you know, this experience. I'm not sure why it takes spirits so incredibly long to just go, well, you know, nothing I can do about it. It happened. You know, for us, it just seems like, well, you just got to acknowledge that and move on. But there's something about the death state and whatever is present of the person's consciousness that still stays stuck in that moment. You know, maybe it's like a regret. Maybe it's a living regret. Maybe it's a living, a living sadness. Maybe it's a piece of the pilot that had to be left behind before he returned to, you know, whatever is divinity. Maybe those parts can't come, and so they stay. You know, they're just kind of removed, and they stay and go through this cycle until they process completely or, you know, or whatever. I don't know. It's just a theory that's popped in my head right now, but could that be it? That some of these hauntings of things like this are an actual piece of the soul that couldn't pass into the divine because it wasn't a divine piece. It was in conflict. It's in, you know, in agony and misery, and so it had to be left until it can process and move on. Is that possible? I don't know. Very curious though. Very cool story. The next one is coming from Idaho. This is in my neck of the woods, ladies and gentlemen. Julia and I and Don and several others are right here in the Idaho Wild North. But the story's from 2007, but it sounds like it's from 1982. It says, in 1982, I was working carpentry work for a farmer in Elk Point, SD. And Elk Point, South Dakota, I guess, but it's supposed to be Ohio, Idaho. Elk Point, South Dakota, on a house that had been moved from town to his farm about 6 miles from town. And almost as soon as I got started on it, I noticed things occurring that I couldn't explain. I'd be working in a room and then go get some materials, and the lights would be off when I returned, and the lights would be on in rooms where I hadn't been, and I worked there for several days, and these things always kept going on. On the fourth day, I was working in the kitchen, putting up paneling, and I had a ladder sitting in the middle of the room with a box of panel nails sitting on the paint shelf of the ladder. And suddenly, the ladder started sliding across the floor, and it tipped over, spilling the nails all over the floor. I could smell jasmine perfume real strong, and the room had gotten a very cold, and it was a 90-degree day outside. I had not felt the house shaking, nor were there any trucks going by, and I picked up the ladder and got down on my hands and knees to pick up all the nails, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw a shadow moving from the bathroom to the bedroom. When I heard the stairs squeak, I got up and went to the stairs to the upstairs bedrooms, and I couldn't see anyone, so I went to the stairs and looked through the bedrooms, but I couldn't find anyone up there. It's like repeated it. Huh. Yeah, I mean, he repeated the same sentence. So, okay, I just wanted to reread it, make sure I didn't miss something there. I went back down and finished picking up the nails, and after some minutes later, the farmer came up to see how I was doing, and I told him about all the strange things that had been going on, and he started laughing, and he said, "You just met our ghost." And then he told me the story of the house and why it was moved. He said the house was originally in town, and the old woman that lived in the house had actually killed herself by hanging in the basement. He took me to the basement and showed me the beam that she had hung herself from and where the neighbors found her, and no one had been able to live in the house since she had passed, and as they could not handle the pranks that she would pull on them. We went back upstairs, and he told me that she had never been violent, just that she liked to turn lights on and off and move things around, and he told me to talk to her, and she'd leave me alone. Then he told me that when they moved the house, they thought the ghost would stay in town, but she didn't, and now he was stuck with her. And as he left, he said that she wouldn't harm me, but she would continue moving things around and turning the lights off and on. And so I continued to work on the house, and a few days later, I finished the kitchen, and I saw her shadow in the bedroom looking towards me, and I said, "I hope you enjoy your new kitchen." And I was there for almost a week after that, and I didn't have any more problems with the lights or anything else. When the job was done and I had moved on to other work, I talked to the farmer several times, and he told me that the old lady was not bothering the people that were currently living in the house, and he had no explanation as to why. Believe me, this scared the heck out of me, and I hoped I would never have this type of experience again. But I have, and I've written other stories as well. To see the other stories by me, click on my name. So, very interesting. Exactly the right way to handle a situation like that. And ladies and gentlemen, most hauntings are absolutely harmless. They just, you know, oftentimes just want to be acknowledged. There are some that are absolutely dark and terrible, but there's also some that are just benign, and sometimes just to address them and, you know, let them know what you're comfortable with, let them know what you're not comfortable with, and, you know, welcome them if you can, or ask them to leave if you can't. Most often, you know, like most people don't want problems. They don't want issues. They just want to be left alone or left to do whatever it is they're doing. And so I think if you address the spirits and you just tell them, "Hey, this is who I am. And, you know, you're welcome to stay, but you have to, please don't do this, 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 and this, you know?" And if that's okay with you, then we can live peacefully. And 9 times out of 10, or maybe 45 times out of 50, that'll be the end of it. You know, you may get some activity after that, but that's just an acknowledgement of their presence. But most of them just are, you know, the same as they were in life. They're just passed. They're just physically challenged, literally. Sorry. Ba-dum-bump. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys have enjoyed this journey through the paranormal portal, and I hope you've had a wonderful evening, and I guess that's about it for me tonight. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
Is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and wagering week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.